versus Ironworks Gym, Mr. Hernandez. Yeah, come on.
May it please the court, counsel.
My name is Renee Hernandez. I represent the plaintiff and appellant in this case, Carrie Spinnett. As this court is aware, this case involves a Title VII sexual harassment claim under quid pro quo theory. The relevant time period involved here is from June 1996 to July 27, 1997, when my client was terminated. The allegations and the complaint and the evidence produced demonstrate that after my client's continued and repeated refusals to have a relationship and have sex with the owner of the executive health spa, Kathy Andrews, that was the basis for his termination from his employment.
Mr. Hernandez.
Yes, Judge.
Even if your evidence is admissible to show that the spa attendants were employees rather than independent contractors, where in the evidence will we find, where in the record will we find evidence that there were 15 employees at the relevant time frame?
The record would demonstrate two things. One, part of the stricken evidence, which was the audio tape over here, which was conducted by the state police, which Kathy Andrews makes the incriminating statements herself that we employ 25, 30 employees. Now, that is a 1999 statement, but I believe that it's relevant to demonstrate that if you go back in time and you also look at the deposition of Carrie Lee, she also supports the proposition of numerous girls, numerous shifts, of also the 20 to 25 girls. And this is the modus operandi of this particular organization. My client then testifies in his deposition as well as an affidavit that there are numerous girls that are there. And these contentions come from Kathy Andrews herself, which is part of our claim in the totality. If you take both the prior acts, the after facts, and the relevant time period in which my client speaks from direct evidence from Kathy Andrews and his personal observations, Judge, I believe that the court has no other choice but to find that there's at least 15 employees, if not more.
What's the structure of these organizations?
It is the Executive Health Spa is a corporation which is solely owned by Kathy Andrews. She's the sole shareholder. She owns it, operates it, and runs it in every aspect. She opened up the health facility with my client, which was the Ironworks Gym, as a collateral business venture stemming out of Executive. The payroll to my client was paid on Executive, and so were the other employees. But that also raises another relevant point, is that the Executive Health Spa also engaged in paying its employees cash, which I think the court should be alerted to. And when you look at the type of activity, when you look at that structure, and you look at the client here, Kathy Andrews, who is the president and or slash sole owner of this corporation.
I don't see what weight can be given to Spinnett's affidavit. He was deposed, didn't know anything, and then all of a sudden in his affidavit he suddenly remembers everything. That's just a sort of suspicious doctoring of a deposition that we don't permit to be done.
And I concur that if this court is continually held that if that was the case, that would be true. I think that the deposition, if you look at the deposition in its totality, I think that you will see throughout the deposition, he complains of the activities of the direct knowledge from Kathy Andrews and to what she's saying to him. Now, Mr. Pappas, in deposition, elicited certain questions, but then there were certain things that were left out that were not inquired into. Should my client now be in this position where he cannot raise other facts that were not raised in the deposition?
Well, in his deposition, he was quite definite about there are only 7 or 8 employees. Then in his affidavit, he changes his tune.
in conjunction, together with the deposition and the totality of the evidence, Judge.
What does that mean, conjunction with the totality of the evidence? What does that give him an excuse for changing his testimony?
Judge, as we look at evidence and how evidence
builds in
the case...
What do you mean as we look at evidence? He's not a lawyer. He's not permitted to look at the other evidence and prepare an affidavit based on other people's evidence.
Judge, well, I think that all of us are entitled to utilize the evidence that we're able
to
ascertain.
No, when you're testifying from your personal knowledge. You're not repeating what other witnesses are saying. So this is what he did. In other words, you're saying he, with your assistance, he writes an affidavit which he's incorporating, repeating other people's testimony.
I believe that he tells me, when I sat down with him and I wrote this affidavit, we went through line by line and we talked about the activities. This is the testimony he's given to me. It has to be sworn under oath. He does so. This is how I prepared the affidavit.
Why does it differ from his deposition?
In terms of how it differs, I don't think that the inquiries were deep enough during the deposition. I don't think this is an intentional omission. I think it is one of the things that we have an individual plaintiff, certainly not the most sophisticated in education terms, but he's an individual who works for Kathy Andrews at her beck and call, under her complete control and supervision. He has the ability. He's been with her for an extended period of time. And what I'm trying to say to this court is that given the nature of summary judgment, that the inferences are supposed to be in the favor of the non-movement party versus the other way around.
The way to be given this evidence. But let me ask you about this. Why aren't they independent, these prostitutes, why aren't they independent contractors? You know, they're kind of coming in and providing a service, like cleaning a person's house or something.
Well, because, as we see in the economic reality test, because Kathy Andrews maintains complete control over these individuals. Complete control. She maintains when they show up, what they're going to do, who they're going to do it with, how they're going to dress, how they're going to act. They have no control to dictate this. Well, there's been statements to the contrary presented by the defendant. We agree,
right,
but that's the contended point.
There are house rules, but I don't understand how she's not selecting their customers, is she?
Certainly. She has control over the blue card holder. She has certain control over who walks in and who's going to see who. She has, as the owner, and I would say the madam, has complete control over all of these girls. And as my client has testified in personal knowledge, that he personally observed her dock an employee $300 for being 3 minutes late. That she personally dictates what the girls do and how they're going to say and how they're going to treat these customers. So it's an operation that's maintained by her completely.
Mr. Hernandez,
yes,
I mean this in the kindest way, particularly in a case such as this. I think you want to use the word women.
I'm sorry. And thank you, Judge. So with given all of that, we believe that the district court erred in granting the summary judgment, and that when taken in the light most favorable to the non-moving party, it was error to exclude the relevant evidence. And I think that both the after-fact overhear transcript with Kathy Andrews' incriminating statements, as well as Carrie Lee's deposition, as well as my client's information, does raise a question of fact, of material fact, for the court to consider, and it would be improper to issue a summary judgment on that. And we ask the court to look at that in its totality, and hopefully the court will find that this type of activity cannot be condoned for this type of attempt to avoid liability in Title VII.
Okay, thank you, Mr.
Hernandez.
Mr. Pappas?
Good morning. I don't believe I'm going to need my allotted 10 minutes.
It seems your client was running an illegal house of prostitution and obviously was not going to keep accurate payroll records and the like. Why can't we infer that if there were more than 15 employees before the relevant time period and more than 15 after the relevant time period, that there were at least 15 during the relevant time period? I mean, shouldn't the plaintiff be given the benefit of the doubt in
these highly unusual circumstances?
Well, Your Honor, I don't think, even if you consider the prior Kerry Lee deposition as well as the Strawberry conversation, which occurred 2 years after the relevant time period, even if you look at those transcripts, I don't think you can infer or assume that 15 or more employees were employed at the health spa during the 2 years in question, the relevant time period. If you look at the testimony, or at least the conversation between Strawberry and Kathy Andrews that was recorded without her knowing about it, there is a reference in there, and the only reference in that conversation is that 25 people work here. That's what she said. She didn't say, I have 25 employees here. And I...
What about her statement that they have strict rules and so on? Doesn't that suggest a control of the sort associated with employment?
As Your Honor indicated that when you questioned Mr. Hernandez, there are certain house rules, yes. But that doesn't indicate that she has total control and they are to be considered employees. But again...
Well, does she train them?
I don't believe there's any evidence in the record that she actually trained them, Your Honor.
Well, wasn't she telling them what to wear, how to behave,
and again,
giving the new young women the blue card holders?
And again, Your Honor, those may be house rules, but again, it does not establish that there were more than 15 employees during the relevant time period.
Well, how can that be house rules? I don't.
Well, she may tell them, this is, you know, you're renting from me, you're going to pay me for using my facilities, this is what I expect, and you are to sign an agreement that you are an independent contractor. But again, what I want to emphasize to the court is that even if you consider, as Judge Reinhart found, even if you include those ladies as part of as being employees, you still don't overcome the threshold or the burden of establishing that there are 15 or more employees, because we have submitted the affidavits of the people that work there, the Andrews affidavit, her deposition as well, and the way this spa operated, Your Honor, there were times when a young lady would be there and she would work along with one other young lady, so there would be just two working a particular shift. The way the business operated, there were times when one young lady only worked once a month. So there is no indication that during the entire time, as required by the statute, there were 15 employees working every day during, I believe it's, the requirement is 20 weeks.
Is this operation still going on, or was
yes,
it shut down by the police?
No, Your Honor, it's still... I am representing him in the other matter. And she is operating, Your Honor, and...
But there is some kind of, nuisance abatement proceeding or something about the brothel aspect?
There is another proceeding, Judge, yes, and I am defending the establishment in that proceeding. It's, what I wanted to emphasize, Your Honor, is... Mr. Hernandez made a point about having a client who is not as bright as perhaps we are, and had some difficulty in his deposition. But we must keep in mind that at the time of the deposition, Mr. Hernandez was also present when I deposed Mr. Stinnett. And I specifically inquired about employees, and he had absolutely no idea what was going on at the executive health spa. He testified that he would go there once a week on Thursdays to deliver the proceeds from the gym which he was operating and clean out the back room. And that's about the extent of his knowledge. We must also keep in mind, Your Honor, that at the time of the deposition, the payroll records of the executive health spa were already in the possession of the plaintiff. So they had our payroll records. Mr. Hernandez, if Mr. Stinnett was aware of other types of records in existence, could have asked him about them at the deposition. I don't think it was incumbent upon me. You know, this came, this thing about the second set of books and records, Your Honor, came to my attention in the Stinnett affidavit, which was filed a year after our summary judgment was filed. So I don't believe under the circumstances, Mr. Hernandez can take the position before this court that, Mr. Pappas didn't ask certain questions of Mr. Stinnett because he was there. He could have expounded. He knew what our defense was. At least we raised it in our answer that we did not employ 15 people. And under these circumstances, I think Judge Reinhardt made the correct decision in striking portions of the extended affidavit and not considering what happened 3 years before when Kerry Lee worked there, or 2 years after when the overhear occurred. There are no more questions. I believe that's all
okay.
I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Pappas. Mr. Hernandez, how much time does he have? A minute and a half? Okay.
Just if I may briefly respond. Again, this is summary judgment in which all the inferences go to the non-movement party. As he indicated, it appears that the district court went the other way on that. But as the court has looked at this record, I think it is clear that there is a brothel that's being run and there are women that are providing these services. With that said, this is not a criminal case. So what we have is, can I demonstrate this criminal activity occurring? I think I have, and I think I've done it more than by preponderance of the evidence. And then, does the court want to be in a position to have a public policy which would condone a position that says if the business is willing to not be entirely candid or actually to be untruthful, they'll be rewarded in it? And I think that becomes the issue and the ultimate question. She trains them, absolutely. That comes right out of the strawberry transcripts. That came out of the Lee transcripts. Absolutely. She says, out of her own words, the incriminating statements that we train our girls, nobody touches a guy until we train them, absolutely. That comes right out of Kathy Andrews' mouth. As for their affidavits, they're contested. My client has a different version. These other individuals that they produced had a different version. And we had talking about Eisenhower, Stahl, Savitsky, which the court should note, she took the Fifth Amendment under questioning about the activities and the going on. And I think that also favors the plaintiff in this instance, or the non-movement in the summary judgment motion. So when you look at all of that, and ask my client as to what's going on, I don't think Mr. Pappas ever asked my client, did Kathy Andrews tell you she had a second set of books? You won't find that in the deposition transcripts, Judge. So when he brings it out and says it, he knows, and he's being sexually harassed by Kathy Andrews routinely. So I think he's in a position to say that.
Okay, thank you both, counsel. Court's going to take a very brief recess.
Thank you.